Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. My name is Kurt Ozon, and we have our esteemed guest today, Mr. Jesse Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, Kurt?
I'm good, bud. Thanks for making the trip into town and coming and joining us on the podcast here.
Absolutely. Happy to do so, man.
We were just talking before we started here, and I was just saying how much I enjoyed the new record.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Where are you coming in from?
I just came in from Austin, Texas today. Mm-hmm. So I live just south of there in San Marcos, Texas. And so, yeah, I just flew in just now up here doing some Nashville stuff. And, you know, glad I got to stop in and say what's up.
Yeah, for sure. What kind of Nashville stuff? Obviously some media things going on, right?
Yeah, meeting up with my team, you know, recently signed with a label called Lightning Rod Records.
Congrats, man.
And, thank you so much. They're out of Nashville, so I've just been kind of coming up here, you know, more regularly and trying to, you know, just kind of get stuff done up here. It's a great town, very inspiring, you know, for music and whatnot.
For sure. I was just recently in Dallas this last weekend for the 4th.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of my friends that live in Dallas are kind of like poo-poo Austin a little bit.
Oh, really?
Is there a specific reason for that, I think, or...
Yeah, you know, I think, and I'm not from Texas originally, you know,
right.
I'm from California, and that is another thing that Texans in general like to poo-poo on is California, so I'm used to that,
mm-hmm.
But with the Dallas thing and Austin, I think everywhere in Texas kind of bashes on Austin a little bit, because it's like the San Francisco of Texas.
It's
kind of,
it's like the weird...
Yeah, it's like their motto is like keep Austin weird, and
for sure.
You know, it's a lot of that kind of counterculture stuff, a lot of hippies back in the day and all that. And so you know, and it's a major city too, you know, so it's got a little bit of everything, but I think that's kind of generally why people do that.
I've always had the best time there.
Yeah, it's a cool town.
And I've played what's that? There's an amphitheater that's kind of outside Austin a little bit. That's like on a river.
Whitewater, oh, is that New Braunfels? That's Whitewater, yeah.
Yeah, that place. I've played there before. It's awesome.
Nice, man. That's awesome. I've always wanted to play that spot. That's a good one.
Especially in the summer when it's like baking hot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't play till 7, it's like you can just float the river all day.
It's right behind it, yeah.
Yeah. I like Austin, man. All the times I've been there, it's just been... You know, what is it, 5th Street, going out there? And
Sixth is the wild one, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, is that like Broadway, I guess?
Exactly. It's kind of the, you know, lower Broadway of Austin, for sure.
Yeah, I was just in the Stockyards, which is like the Broadway of Fort Worth.
Yeah, sure. Very similar.
It was pretty fun, man. Some good bands down there.
Mm-hmm. Dallas is cool.
Yeah, and where...
Fort Worth, excuse me.
Yeah, and where in California are you from?
I grew up in a town called Ben Lomond, California, that's on the Central Coast.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a small town. It's about 5,000 people, but it's right next to, very close to Santa Cruz, California. If you ever heard, like, the skateboard company, Santa Cruz, mm-hmm. Skateboards
or
and
Guitar
Surfboards.
Company.
Or Guitar Company,
Tony
exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, ton. So there's tons of, you know, bluegrass history where I grew up, too, with, like, all the acts that would come through and play our local radio station and play the venues in town and Santa Cruz Guitar Company. And yeah, so that's basically it. You know, nobody knows the actual town I'm from, but Santa Cruz is kind of
the
next
big one
closest
in the
place.
And would you say that, like, that growing up in California has had like a huge impact on your music style? Like, this is like the Bakersfield thing, or?
I would say so, definitely, you know. You know, that, the Bakersfield thing, but also, you know, just kind of a lot of the classic rock music that came out of, you know, California in general, you know, in the 60s and 70s. A lot of that is music that I grew up on. My dad played, you know, blues and classic rock and some country bands when I was growing up. And so I got kind of a well-rounded, you know, influence of that music just from the stuff I was growing up hearing on the radio. And then, you know, it's like anything, like a sports team or anything that you find out they're from your area and you're like, oh, I could stand behind this, you know, and kind of be proud of it.
Yeah. It's I was kind of doing my research for this podcast, you know, just going on your website and reading your bio and all that. And it surprised me when it said that you were like a punk drummer.
Yeah.
Because when I listen to your record, it sounds like that you've just been playing country music your whole life. And that
yeah.
you're like so steeped in the tradition of it. But it's cool that you like grew up playing like punk drums, because like I did the drum line in high school, and like I had a punk band, and you know, more like pop punk and stuff, but like
sure.
And people were like, oh, Kurt, you play, you know, steel guitar, you must have grown up listening to country music. Wasn't really the case for me.
Sure. No, and I can relate to that. You know, I kind of grew up more on like the classic rock thing, you know, and more into blues and classic rock. And then, you know, as I got into high school, you know, people that I knew, went to school with, were into country, and I kind of got influenced, you know, in that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with the punk rock thing, you know, I feel like everybody, assuming we're within the same kind of, you know, age range, I feel like, you know, that generation of people, it was kind of impossible to not be influenced by punk rock, you know, like you said, pop punk, any of that popular music, just because it was so huge. It was on every TV, every radio station. And, you know, so I got really into like '80s, Southern California 80s punk rock, like Black Flag, you know, Circle Jerks, bands like that, Adolescence, and a lot of Nardcore bands like Ill Repute and Dr. No.
What is a Nardcore band?
So that's like hardcore music, you know, back in the 80s when it started, like bands like Black Flag and all over the country, you know, different bands. But Nardcore was this type of hardcore punk rock that started in Oxnard, California, so they called it Nardcore, and it was this own little special area, you know, and from about Santa Barbara down to Oxnard, and bands like RKL, and for all the country fans who know nothing about this, they're like, okay, whatever, but
no, that's fine.
It's a real cool little piece of history that's out there.
I was like getting to learn stuff like during these interviews, which is always one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, it's so. Some good stuff. It's some real, you know, aggressive punk rock music. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really liked about it growing up, was it was a good, you know, way to channel my, you know, emotion, whether it was anger or sadness or whatever I was going through. I could kind of put it through that filter of drumming, especially, is such a physical expression of music. And so I feel like the connection with country music is like, once I figured out, you know, that expression of punk rock to rock and roll to blues to country, it's really not all that different. It's a different style of music, but the feeling that you get from that expression, for me at least, is the same, you know? And I feel like, you know, the way that you get to kind of channel that emotion is the same. I mean, country is all about heartache, mm-hmm. you know, struggle. All the things that happen in life, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely moments like on stage, even when I'm playing country music, that it's like I get the same feeling as I did just when I was playing in rock bands, like in high school or in college.
Sure. You know? Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
The lyric now in the country world, it's like more relatable, I feel like, and there's more stories and things like that. Than it was like in rock music of, you know, the mid-2000s or whatever. But the feeling is so similar.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Yeah. And so what were some of the first like country artists that you got into?
You know, off the bat, you know, the guys that I went to high school with were all listening to Alan Jackson and George Strait. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of the 90s, 80s, 90s guys that kind of were also experiencing that popularity in the 2000s. I remember Good Time by Alan Jackson being like, you know, my high school, every rally that we do, it was like Alan Jackson was huge. You know, so that was kind of one of the givens. But then when I really started digging in, I got into Merle Haggard. That was kind of like some of the more old school stuff. Johnny Cash was.
So you started going backwards in time.
Exactly, man. Yeah. I kind of first discovered the stuff that was popular, you know, when I was around. And then just, you know, just like I did with punk rock, I kind of did this mission to the beginning of it to find out all the stuff I could. I did that with country, you know, and just started digging back into, you know, the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and 50s. And, yeah, so guys like Merle, you know, Waylon Jennings was a huge one for me, Johnny Cash, so many others.
Yeah, all the classics. Mm-hmm. Some Hank Williams. I think I can hear some of that.
Oh, most definitely, man. Yeah, Hank, for sure. Hank Sr. I love Hank Jr. too. Yeah. I got really into Hank 3 also when he was out doing his thing.
Yeah. I grew up listening to rock and metal and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Hank 3 was kind of like that bridge to country, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like Three Shades of Black and all yeah, that stuff.
Definitely.
What is he up to these days?
Man, I've been wondering that because he, I feel like a few years ago, posted something or somebody said that he might be coming back to make music again. And then I didn't really hear anything. But I was a big fan of his for sure.
And I was also, speaking of a big fan of Sons, it's reading like the press sheet, it's like Ben Haggard was involved in your record, wasn't he? Did you guys co-write or did he sing on the record? Or
he did, he sang on one of my songs, Tomorrow's Good Old Days. Mm-hmm. He sang that one, and I wrote that song, and my fiance and manager, you know, songwriting partner Jody, she heard that song and she just immediately was like, man, I could hear Ben's voice on this. I think, you know, he ought to be singing on it with you. And so we had kind of developed a friendship, me and Ben, over mm-hmm. the over the last couple of years. And I just got in contact with him, sent him the song, and you know, he sang on it and kind of made it what it is. It turned out great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember following him on Instagram, and he would always post videos of mm-hmm. him singing. And it was just, whenever I was, you know, browsing on my phone and that would come up, I would just kind of stop for a second and listen and enjoy.
Yeah, he's incredible, like isn't he?
Yeah, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. I feel like he hasn't been posting as much or something.
Yeah, he's you know, he's doing his thing. I know that he and his brother Noel are doing like the Haggard Brothers, basically, and they go around and tour, and they'll play like, you know, big theaters and basically just play their dad's music. So mm-hmm. they've been kind of busy doing that. And I've heard, you know, a little bit of Ben's stuff, and I know he's a hell of a songwriter himself. Yeah,
absolutely.
So. Waiting for him to put out a record.
I know. Maybe we'll have you sing on it.
I'd love to.
Yeah. What an honor to have him on your record, though.
Absolutely. How yeah, cool is that? Yeah, a huge, huge honor, man.
And you mentioned Jody, and so she's your partner in all this, and manager, and background vocalist, and mm-hmm. co-writer. And
oh, yeah.
I was on the record today on Apple Music, which mm-hmm. has like credits built in, so you can see like who plays and sings. And I didn't see a lot of information about this record online. So who are some people, like, was it a lot of solo rights, or were you doing a lot of co-writing for this new record? Or
this one was mostly just me and Jody, really. That was mm-hmm. it, you know. It was, I'd say, probably, you know, 60% me, and then the rest that Jody and I wrote together. We've got a couple duets that we wrote together on this one. One's like a real slow, sad ballad type song called When Your Tomorrow's in the Past. And then we got one called Stepping Out that's kind of like a funny, you know, Conway Twitty, Loretta Lynn oh, type
yeah.
deal.
Barn burner.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so yeah, it was really just Jody and I, you know, working on these songs together. And even on the ones that, you know, she doesn't write with me, it's like I'll be writing in the living room and she's kind of there for the process and helps with a word here or there type situation, you know. So we kind of do that for each other.
Hell yeah. Good teamwork.
Exactly.
I love it.
Makes the dream work.
Yeah, and I don't know if you kind of know my story at all, but I do play play guitar.
I was going to ask you, yeah.
Yeah, actually I met Nick, who I usually do the podcast with, through like Smoking Cigars and music and all this and that. And I play in Luke's band. That's why we got all the Luke posters up here. And with Luke, I play steel guitar and utility, but, you know, like dobro and electric and
that's
all kinds.
Awesome.
Just a little bit of everything.
I had no idea. I was talking to a star right now.
No, that's not true. But, I will say that as someone that plays steel guitar, mm-hmm. and guitar, the playing on this record is absolutely insane.
Thank you, man.
That's incredible.
Well, all the steel guitar and dobro is all Caleb Mello. He's, you know, up and comer. He's I think he's only 23 years old.
He's nasty.
Been with me for about 3.5 years, 4 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he was, you know, touring with a band called the Reeves Brothers. And he's from, born and raised in Bakersfield, you know. So his dad used to take him to these old-timer steel guitar, like, meetups, you know, mm-hmm. where these old Bakersfield guys would sit around and basically just play old tunes, you know. And they'd have a band and they'd just play, you know, a bunch of steel players playing music together. And so he just kind of, like a sponge, absorbed that last little bit of Bakersfield magic that I feel like was out there, you know. And you could hear it in his playing. He's just incredible.
I thought for sure there was going to be some dude with white hair playing on this record. You say it's a 23-year-old, it's pretty wild.
I mean, it's insanity.
All the playing on the record is insane.
Yeah, and it really is, man.
If anyone is an instrumentalist that's listening to this podcast and wants to hear some good chicken picking, this is the record to do it, because it's just like...
Appreciate that.
You know, there's lots of great hooks, and one thing that's cool is you can tell you guys went and cut things as a band, because there's so much, like, harmonizing licks and the instrumentation and production on it's really cool and very Definitely. Complicated, too.
I appreciate that.
But you can still really dance to it. I could see people at your show. Everyone's moving. Everyone's dancing, I bet.
Sure, yeah. A lot of the times, for sure, mm-hmm. you know. And that's something I love about, you know, recording records, you know, mm-hmm. making music is arranging those things and those hooks and those parts. That's such a huge part of a song to me. Is not just like the lyrical content or, you know, whatnot, but the actual composition of the song, you know, and having those harmony parts. And John Carroll played lead on this record. He's played on my last few records. He's just a monster guitar player, but you know, I write all the guitar parts. Like, I write all the intro parts, the outros. Like, I have kind of a general idea of the solos, of what I kind of want it to sound like and how I want it to go, but I'm fairly limited as a guitar player. Like, I, you know, I can play the hell out of some rhythm and I can pick a little bit, but I'm no John Carroll, you know? So I'll just kind of give him the gist of what I want it to be like. And, he has really, you know, helped to bring those things to life. He and Caleb together, you know, as far as, like you said, doubling up on all those harmony parts and stuff. That's like some of my favorite stuff in country music, you know, music in general.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times when you cutting music on Music Row, you know, there's like the 10 to 2 slot, and so you get in and you mm-hmm. knock that tune out, a couple tunes out. You don't always have time to work out harmony parts, especially when they're that fast.
Sure.
So being able to hear stuff like that, it's just different. It's mm-hmm. to my ears, it's a traditional sound, but it sounds fresh to me and new, cool. which is great.
Well, that's like the best compliment I could hope for, man. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm going for. Appreciate that.
It's just, I could tell you guys kind of, from a production standpoint, went the extra mile, you know? And it has all those little extra little tasty yeah. little bits on the record, you know?
Thank you, man. This is my first record I ever produced, you know, myself. And mm-hmm. and spent a lot of nights, you know, laying awake, staring at the ceiling, kind of thinking of things like this. And, then going back into the studio and retaking it or making sure that it was just right, you know? So that means a lot. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plenty of fiddle, lots of steel, lots of good Telecaster picking, and acoustic stuff too. Are you, is the guitar player playing acoustic solos? I think there's a couple acoustic breaks on the record.
Yeah, that's all John on this mm-hmm. one. I have on past records of mine played, you know, acoustic breaks, you know, mostly like some bluegrass style stuff. I'll play a little bit of that on some of the acoustic stuff. You know, my first record back in 2018, you know, I played a lot of like electric lead on that. But all this stuff on this one is all John. I just played a lot of rhythm.
Gotcha. So... what's the live show like? Like, how big of a band are you touring with? I know you guys are doing a lot of clubs, and I know mm-hmm. you're doing 200 shows a year.
Last year. This year is considerably less because we're kind of, you know,
doing, that's doing a lot of shows, man.
I know, man. The last couple years has been like that, last few years, really. And then the live band is, you know, I've got steel guitar, lead, bass, drums. Myself, I'll play telly and acoustic, mm-hmm. go back and forth. And then Jody on backing vocals. And we did for the West Coast. That's kind of my best market, you know, so we'll go out there and have the best turnouts and whatnot. So we wanted to, I wanted to bring like a good show and something new and more representative of like this record with the fiddle on it and everything. Mm-hmm. So we had fiddle join us on this run, which was a lot of fun. And now we're kind of back just to doing it, you know, the way that I said, with just the two tellies and steel. But it's cool because we kind of have worked a lot of those things into the live show where it's, you know, guitar harmonies and, you know, the steel and guitars kind of double up on a lot of stuff. And drummer takes a solo and we're able to really make a show. And that's always been kind of my goal, is to give people a show, you know, even if they're in a club. And you're no stranger to that. You guys are playing huge places. Mm-hmm. If you could bring that same energy, you know, in a small club to 200 people, it's kind of like dress for the job you want type of thing. You know, we're trying to really just give people that experience, and it helps us to feed off of that energy when we get it back too. You know, makes the show better for everybody.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that are afforded the opportunity to play the bigger rooms, it's like we miss the club shows too. We miss the 200 to 500 cap rooms.
Yeah. There's something to be said for that, like, you know, packed room full of energy that's right up there in your face, you know?
Yeah, and you know, on the bigger shows, there's barricades and you know, photo pits and then by the time that's all spread out and the stage is bigger, it's like you lose that intimacy, I think. Which is like why like Garth went and did like a dive bar tour.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, you guys miss it, you know, after a while. That's got to be a different set of challenges, you know.
Yeah. There's things I miss, of course, mainly the two hours on stage.
You poor guys, you.
I know, I don't miss the, you know, the other, you know, the catering not being there and all that, stuff like that. But it's just so much fun, man.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime you're out there playing music with, you know, people you like and that you gel well with, it's whether, you know, I've never played a stadium, but, you know, biggest crowd I've ever played to is about 6,000 people, you know, and that feeling was like everybody's right up front, big old festival. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't matter. I've played shows that are 15 people that were as fun as that, you know. It kind of depends on, like, the whole vibe of it and if the people you're making music with are, you know, a good fit and a good group, which I'm thankful for my touring band right now. Everybody's real solid, you know.
Love it. And so are all the guys that played on the record touring with you, or?
No, it's pretty much only one on the record was Caleb.
Gotcha.
And so he's my touring guy, and he'll play on records. And then everybody else is just, they're all based out of Austin. Players and... Some guys have been with me for a couple years. Some guys are new. And but yeah, it's fun. It's really fun to sit and just kind of work out the show and build it up. We're about to go out on the road with Charles Wesley Godwin.
I love Charles.
Yeah, I do too, man. I've never met him actually, but I like his music. And so we've been working out a extravaganza type of opening set for that we're really trying to dial in.
I've gotten the opportunity to tour with Charles a little bit for a couple weekends and just sub for his steel guitar player, and you're gonna have a blast, man. They're opening for us now with Luke.
That's awesome.
Yeah, on Fridays, and
talk about high energy too.
Yeah,
he's like all over the stage running around. The whole band is for sure,
especially Al, like the lead guitar player, and Chuck's producer is like, you'll be on stage and I'm playing whatever. And I'll be like, where's Al? And then I'll see him, like, at the top of the balcony. He had gone through a fire escape and ran around. And he comes out and he goes, you know, it's like shredding. Like, and then it's awesome.
I always see videos and, like, clips of those guys doing stuff like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to witness it.
Yeah, Charles and the Allegheny High, they're good folks, man. Mm-hmm. Some of the best to tour with.
That's good.
Super nice, super talented. That's awesome. Y'all are going to have so much fun. Where are you guys playing?
We're going up to the East Coast. So I know we're doing, you know, some dates in like New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts. And then I think one that's not with him up in Toronto, we're doing a show up there, just one of ours.
Oh, gotcha. Are y'all doing the Stage AE show in Pittsburgh? Do you know?
I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to double check.
Okay. That's one that I'm trying to get to because it's like a big show for him.
Really?
Where it's like, yeah, it's like selling out this big room.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I think I have the weekend off, so I'm like, might as well just do a road trip to Pittsburgh and go hang out for the weekend.
That's so cool.
Be fun to come see live.
Yeah, definitely. I'll let you know. I'll double check on that one.
So what else you got coming up? Oh, fuck. I just got a splinter from this table.
Uh-oh. Man, I got, you know, that record coming up. I'm doing some recording, actually, while I'm here in Nashville, you know, just doing something that I'll leave it at that for now. But some secret stuff. Exactly, yeah, some secret studio stuff, and I'm excited about that. You know, really just kind of focusing on doing that, and then I'd like to get back in the studio some more over the winter. And I've kind of just been writing more than ever, you know, and feeling inspired.
Yeah, hitting that stride.
Exactly, man. That's it. I feel like it always happens right as you're putting out a record. That's when that flood of inspiration kind of comes. And, you know, we've been on the road a lot. So just really trying to keep that flow going. And, you know, we're going to be touring a lot the rest of this year. And, you know, just gearing up for next. I know next year we're probably going to be doing quite a few European
dates.
And we went for the first time last year, and I didn't know that they like country music. I didn't know to the extent of which they like country music, and it was insane. So I can't wait to go back and see what it's like, you know, 2 years later after, you know, these releases and whatnot.
Were people dancing at your shows over there, or?
They were a little bit, you know, but it was like, I'd say it kind of compares, like, on the West Coast when we play, you know, say we'll play like a 250 or 500 cap room and we sell it out and it's like packed. It's like a rock show, you know, everybody's to the front.
Sure.
It was kind of like that. Like, we played, for instance, Valencia, Spain, and we were showing up to these places in Spain that I have never been.
When was this?
This was last July. And we played, you know, three dates that were just show dates in, like, you know, 250 clubs. And we sold out each one of them. And people were coming out. I know. I could not believe it. And most of the people knew, you know, my name and stuff. But a lot of the people just came because they're like, there's an American country band that's playing. And they don't get that music very often. So that was incredible. We got to headline a festival over there called Hercasa Fest. And that was that 6,000 people, you know, show.
So your biggest show was in Spain?
Yeah, it was.
Wow, what a trip.
I know, it was insane, man. And then we also did a festival in Belgium called Shock Fest, and it's pretty cool. You'd probably dig it if you love rock and roll and country.
They had
Us, they had Fu Manchu, like all these different punk rock bands, rock bands, and then Us and Dale Watson. And so it was
what,
like,
a lineup.
Yeah, I know, a very crazy lineup. And so I think we're going to be doing that one again. And yeah, I love Europe, man.
Me too.
Cool.
And the food was great, and the coffee, and I heard some great music over there too, like killer stuff. Yeah, especially like in Scotland, like all the traditional.
I've never been to Scotland, man. I want to go.
We had the night, my favorite night, probably one of my favorite nights of tour ever. At least that one where we weren't playing a show, but we went to this bar called Ben Nevins in Glasgow, which is like close to the venue we were playing. And Corey, our keys player, and I had the day off, but we're like, let's just go get some food and then let's get a nice meal and then just go to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right. So, you know, we go to dinner and we're like, yeah, we'll split a bottle of wine, you know? And then we're like, well, dinner was great. Like, let's just get a nightcap at this bar.
Just one more.
Yeah. And we went to this bar. We were walking there and we heard bluegrass music, like American bluegrass music.
Wow.
And so we went and watched this group play. And, you know, it was like guitar, mandolin, fiddle. And they're just sitting in a booth playing for the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we befriended them and we're like, hey, you guys should come to our show tomorrow. And they're like, okay, cool. And we're like, is there any more music tonight? And they're like, go to Ben Nevins. It's trad night, which is like traditional Scottish music.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was amazing. It was like bagpipes and... Let me see the vocal clip.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
And it was like my favorite night on tour as far as like getting to hear local music, having a day off.
What a thing to stumble upon too, you know. That's like,
it was like a bunch of, it was like if all the professional fiddle players in Scotland were like in one bar at the same night.
Dang. Oh my god. You're not kidding. What is that hand drum?
I don't know, man. And then this cat on the keys was like laying the bass down. Dude,
that is awesome.
It was amazing.
What a cool thing to stumble upon, man. I've always wanted to go to Scotland and Ireland. That's, you know, like, I'm Scottish. That's like my heritage, you know. I've always wanted to go there. I've been at the UK. I did a little acoustic tour over in the UK. Mm-hmm. Last summer, and that was awesome. But we're planning on trying to go back, and I want to go see some stuff like that.
Yes.
If I can.
Well, I think it's every Sunday night at Ben Nevins.
If you're in
Glasgow.
In Glasgow, okay.
Yeah. Well, just hit me up if you forget.
I will, for sure. That's awesome.
And then some of the guys like that we toured with were like, the food was too different, so like they weren't into it, and they were like wanting to go get McDonald's and stuff. But I thought the food was great. Did you...
That's
enjoy
so
it over
funny.
There, or?
That's exactly how it was with us. Like half the band was, like for instance, my bass player at the time, good friend of mine, you know, he's a gentleman from El Paso, Texas, only likes Mexican food. Grew up, you know, Mexican dude, only likes that. He's like hardcore into good Mexican food. And so we go to Spain and he's like, all right, let's see like where, this is like the motherland of where, you know, that came from. And he was like, this is bullshit, dude. He only wanted to eat, you know, stuff that he could find, you know, and that's how a couple of the other guys were too, like, you know, the more American stuff. For me, it was like, there's certain stuff I liked, there's certain stuff, you know, that I didn't. I'm trying to think. The mayonnaise on fries thing that they do in Belgium, I am not a fan of that.
I love it.
See, my Jody, she loved it. She loves mayonnaise on anything. But that kind of made me want to gag. I was like, I can't do it. But, but you know, I'm willing to try anything, you know what I mean? And see what's up with it.
Also, when you're traveling and you're not getting the best sleep, and sometimes you just need that comfort food.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you just want that Big Mac and fries. And
yeah, that was Eddie's, my old bass player's thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I'm not really feeling adventurous. You know, we're on the road. We're working hard. I'm trying to just do my thing. Get something that I know, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. There were some funny things that Dale Watson had told me about playing in Poland. And he told me they were starving. They had been traveling all day.
Uh-oh.
And the guys were like, hey, we've got a good meal for you prepared. And so they go into the green room and they're like, oh, finally. They set their bags down and they bring out this plate. And he was like, Jesse, I kid you not, it was a plate with a block of Jello, and in the center of the Jello was a fucking pike's head, like a pike fish. And he was like, we all just kind of stared at this thing, and we're all starving, and we're like, all right, guess we're not eating tonight.
That's got to be a prank, right? Like the office where like Jim puts the stapler in Jello or something?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, that's what he said, you know? I don't know if that's like a specialty over there, pike's head in Jello, but...
Yeah, there's sometimes when you're traveling... In another country where, like in Australia, it's like, sometimes it just feels like you're in an American city.
Really?
But instead of a latte, it's a flat white, you know, or like, I mean, there's a lot of different things about Australia, but a lot of times, you know, you can find regular food, you know, American style stuff.
Sure, sure.
It's just healthier versions of it. But then sometimes when you're traveling and you get a pike's head in Jello and you're like, okay, I think I'm ready to go home soon.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Or, you know, I want a home-cooked meal.
That was it. You know, I remember feeling like I had really gained this perspective, you know, on being from the United States and kind of grown to appreciate these other countries I went to and, you know, appreciated their culture and their food and everything and the people. But I also had this sense of coming home and being like, man, I'm glad that I live here, you know, and
absolutely
made me appreciate the things about being from the States, you know. I remember coming through customs after we got like our flights canceled and we had this 2 days of travel in between airports in Europe, And then we came back and it was like, welcome to the United States. And I was like, oh, thank God. I'm home. Yeah, exactly.
Kiss the ground.
Yeah. But yeah, I love traveling, man.
Me too. I mean, you're counting the miles for sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's what that whole record's or that whole song's about, you know.
Yeah, it's like a love record or like a love letter to traveling.
That's it. To traveling and kind of like being a lifer musician, you know, and just doing that. And I love it.
You playing any drums in the set or?
No. So that's, we've talked about that, man. Yeah, doing some D beats, some fast stuff. I wanted to work that into the set, and my drummer is totally down for it. He's like, you let me know and we'll work out a thing, you know, where he just takes the kick and I come over and switch over and then just do all this stuff. But we have not worked it out. But that inspires me. I'm going to talk to him now. We're going to, maybe for the Charles run or something like that, we'll have to work that in.
For sure. Fun. Yeah, I haven't. You don't see a lot of singers doing that.
No.
When I was, it's cool. Let's see, what year was it? Probably 2006 or something. Mm-hmm. And I was living in Boston and I was teaching guitar lessons and working in restaurants and doing that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, one of my students was, his parent was like, hey, we have extra tickets to go see Maroon 5. Do you want to go? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
And this was like Songs About Jane record. Mm-hmm. They were touring, I think. I think that was the right year. And at the end of the set, Adam Levine gets on drums and the singer comes and they play Back in Black. And like the drummer sang it and like crushed it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was sick.
See, I'd love to work something like that in, you know, and I want maybe Jody to take the lead on one song and I'll get back on the drums and do something like that. We'll make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I get a drum solo, I'm happy. That's what I want
to
do.
Were you like a Warped Tour kid at all? Did you go to Warped Tour? Or?
Yeah, I did, man. I went to Warped Tour a few different years. First time I went, I was pretty young. I think my dad took me and a friend from school. And then my brother was a big skateboarder and he used to do the competitions. He was like a really good skateboarder sponsored and stuff. And so he got me into the Warped Tour for a couple different years and he'd go skate the ramp and like we'd watch his, you know, comp and then we'd go, you know, watch bands the rest of the day. So that was kind of my experience with it.
I went one year. I was always more into like metal and stuff than I was, but like by the time I was in high school, I went one year, had a blast, and my parents love Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Oh, really?
Do you know them?
Yeah.
And so we went and watched them together as a family, you know, going to the family. And,
that's cool.
My parents, like, always took me to concerts. Like,
so did my dad always did, too, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, like.
Thank God for our parents.
No doubt, man. Amen. Amen. Anything from Warped Tour to Pat Metheny, you know, like jazz stuff to all kinds of different things. But
that's so cool. So they like Me First in the Gimme Gimmes and jazz.
That's awesome. Everything.
That's an eclectic.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Yeah, that's cool. Same with us. I loved the Warped Tour thing was cool because you get to see bands like, you know, like them or Pennywise or NoFX or whatever. And then they'd have some of like the more legacy punk, you know, like Black Flag or bands like that, you know, play or. You know, and then all of the, there's a lot of stuff on there I remember not, you know, really caring for. Like you said, you were more into metal. I was kind of more into like the old school punk and hardcore stuff.
For sure.
But
I had a similar path where like you found punk and went backwards and you found country and went backwards. Like I've got, and Justice for All record was like my first Metallica record.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then me and my friends got into it and then we kind of went backwards and then like I was, found like Led Zeppelin and like Sabbath and stuff like that.
Sure, yeah, man, that's like as good as it gets is like Led Zeppelin. Yeah, as far as like just rock and roll goes, you know, they're like one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I've been on a big kick kind of going back listening to the stuff I grew up on. Like my dad was huge on Allman Brothers, Led Zeppelin, all that good stuff, man. Yeah.
I find myself doing that too. Like if I'm like at the gym or something or going on a run, I'm like, all right, old Standby. Let's listen to this record.
Oh yeah.
But
that's exactly what I've been doing too. Same thing.
One thing's been really fun is like, you know, doing all these interviews and doing this podcast. It's like, I'm listening to so much more new music.
Oh, yeah.
Which is super, you know, it's like I listen to your record and whoever, you know, like we had Caitlin Butts on. So, like, yeah. I listen to her new record.
That's awesome. And she is great, by the way.
Oh, yeah. She's killer. Awesome. And we just had her on the couple, like last week or so. So that's why I got my t-shirt. She was just nice. In Spain, too, actually.
She headlined the festival we headlined last year. She did that same slot and mm-hmm. it looked like she crushed it over there.
Yeah.
That was that one.
Yeah, she's a ripper for sure. And, but it's always like, it's like that comfort food that, you know, we're talking about. Those mm-hmm. records that you grew up listening to. It's like Zeppelin 4. It's always going to be good. You know, it's like Ride the Lightning. Always going to be good. You know, yeah. Those are like my staples. You know?
Totally, man. Yeah, that's like one time this guy described my music to me. And he said, I don't know if this is going to make sense, but like when I listen to your records all the way through, it's like a nutritious meal. And I loved that analogy. I was like, that's so cool. And that's kind of like how I've grown to think about those records. Like you say, it's like mm-hmm. you listen to it and you feel like you really get something out of it, you know, something kind of spiritual out of it, you know, like a nourishment of some kind.
Yes. You know? And what I love about the production of the record is it's just not gimmicky. It's, you know, six people, seven people on a record, you know, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a harmonica player added every once in a while.
That's right.
And it's the same guys on each track and gal, and it's just really good, solid gold country.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I just wanted to make the most country record I'd ever made. That was my goal.
Well, you definitely did it. Appreciate I mean, it's country's chicken shit, for sure. No doubt about it.
Hell yeah.
It's cool. It's, you know, it's you let the songs do most of the speaking too, which is cool. And there's not like, I just hear a lot of music now where everything is, just feels so processed. And this is like a Whole Foods nutritious meal.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Sure. Man, I love that. I know there is so much music out there now that is like ultra processed and just kind of, you know, commercialized and there's some of that stuff I like. There's some mm-hmm. stuff that's good, you know, just fun to listen to. Just like it's fun to drink a Diet Coke or eat a cheeseburger once mm-hmm. in a while. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily a good thing for you, but it's fun to do.
Yeah.
Once in a while. But no doubt. You know. But yeah, my music, I try to make stuff that's good for people, you know, and that's good for me. And it kind of is this like mutually beneficial thing. It's like I'm making music the music that's in my heart, and it might not be for everybody, but the people that find it, it's like it's they love it and it's for them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Of course. Have you found that the sort of, how do I say this without being an oxymoron? The resurgence of like more traditional sounds, has it been affecting like your touring, or have you found people more open to it? I'm just thinking of like a lot of newer artists that are coming out that are have that more traditional sound.
Man, I'm sorry. Rephrase that one more time.
Like, have you noticed that like the traditional sound is coming back more?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. It has. I think that like, you know, really when I started having interest in like making country music, and I went from, you know, being, like you said, you worked in restaurants, you know, from being just a full guy working full time, you know, playing music on the weekends, to being like, all right, I want to play music full time and I want to make country music. That was like 2017, 2018 is when I really made that transition. Mm-hmm. And I had been doing it years before that. But at that time, there's guys like Sturgill Simpson was just like coming out with, you know, a lot of his most famous stuff, you know, and before. And there was that kind of stuff percolating and stirring up. And it was becoming popular, but I feel like it was almost still this underground thing. But now you have it to where I almost feel like the more traditional stuff, especially the 90s stuff, is really coming into the mainstream, you know, and it's I think, you know, just like anything else, like good and bad, you know, it's like you want your cool thing to be your cool thing, you know, and have it be yours forever. But then, you know, I guess the more people are hip to something, it's kind of benefiting everybody in a way, you know? And so I do think definitely there's a lot of really good, you know, country music that's coming out that is more traditional, you know, now. I just think more people, it's cooler to do now, so there's more people doing it.
Country's cool again, as it Lainey is. Says.
Yeah.
I was at a wedding, like I said, this past weekend or weekend before, and they did, like, their first dance was a Flatland song, and then it was also a Zach Top song.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was in Texas, so it's
sure
a little biased there, but I definitely think that country music as a genre, even in the last 4 or 5 years, is just feels like it's exploding and creeping up into, like, the pop and just the consciousness of the country more so than it ever has, at least since I've worked in it.
I agree.
So there's more room for a more traditional sound, you mm-hmm. know, like yours or like Zach's. And then there's also room for, like, the up-tempo dance trap beat stuff too, you know, for when sure. you're at the bar or whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly, you know, and I think that that's cool because that's, I think it is cool that there are guys like him and others that are, you know, achieving that kind of mainstream success with it. Mm-hmm. You know, because like you said, the trap beat stuff or whatever, it's like, I'm not one of these people that just hates on music and is like, you know, you see all these pages that are like, you know, F pop country and stuff yeah. and this and that. And it's like, okay, I have certain stuff that I hear and I viscerally am like, oh, that sucks. I don't like that. You know,
everyone does.
But, you know, I think that, that like you just said, you know, the boosting of those more mainstream, or I'm sorry, more traditional sounds in the mainstream, mm-hmm. I think is turning more heads toward, you know, more traditional country, which, you know, so kudos to the guys doing that, basically. That's just what I'm trying to do is just keep making that music because I love it.
So I mentioned Zach. Is there any other artists that you think are doing it in a cool way that you want to shout out?
Yeah, man. I know that, you know, Colby Acuff, mm-hmm. he's one that he kind of has some really cool, like, songwriter stuff and then also some real honky-tonk kind of country, you know, type stuff. I like his stuff.
Yeah, he's my literal next-door neighbor and best friend.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nice, man. He just sent me a t-shirt, and we traded shirts, man, because, you know, he likes, we both have an affinity for Truck Stop. Nice. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, he's a new favorite of mine. Honestly, I looked him up because my tour man, my driver and merch guy, Kyle, is like a huge fan of his, and he does a podcast called Honky Tonk Heroes, and I think he interviewed him, turned me on to him, and, you know, so I'm a fan of his. I really like Benjamin Todd, you know, because he's kind of been going from the more Lost Dog Street Band, like songwriter stuff and more folk stuff into the kind of country honky tonk range. And I've heard his music that he hasn't released yet. And it's like some of the most country stuff I've ever heard, you know, that's in modern times. It's super good. And he's got a crazy vocal range and good songwriter. Yeah, Caitlin Butts is crushing it. There's so many others. I can name so many other people. Oh, Tony Martinez. I got to say, man, if you're not hip to him,
write it down.
Write Tony Martinez down. So Tony has got a record coming out, and he, I believe, I'm not sure, Tony, I'm sorry if I'm getting this mixed up, that Yellow Wolf either produced it or had a hand in working with it. But he's been basically like on the road with Yellow Wolf for a long time and working with him in one way or another. And I've known Tony since years ago. He was a guitar player for Whitey Morgan.
Oh, cool.
And Tony is probably one of the most ripping guitar players I've ever heard, has the most crazy, powerful voice. And he's just an incredible songwriter, too. I can't say enough stuff.
It's unfair sometimes.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that was so blessed with musical talent, man. So if you want good music, like good songwriting, country music all around, check out Tony Martinez.
I do want that.
Yeah, you'd love him if you like that stuff.
Hell yeah.
I could go on and on. Shoot.
Well, I think that's plenty for now. That'll give me a lot of homework to do.
All right. Yeah,
future guest to check out.
Yep, for sure. That's crazy about Colby. That's cool. He's your neighbor.
Yeah, yeah. And he's on the road with us now with Luke. He's on the Saturdays.
That is great.
Yeah. So, small world, man.
Keeps on getting smaller.
Yeah, no doubt.
It does.
Especially when you're in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, they call it Little Big Town for a reason.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't live here, you know, but I come up here, you know, pretty frequently now that we're working with Lightning Rod. And it's been really cool to see those things, you know, see how that kind of network gets smaller and smaller once you get to know people. And it's a cool community.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming on. You know, I think this...
You bet, Kurt. Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Of course. You want to plug your socials before we get out of here?
Yeah, you bet. I'm just, you know, on all the socials at The Jesse Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Not and, without the S. No S.
Yeah, no S on that name. It's just Jesse Daniel. And jessedanielmusic.com is my website. And, you know, you can find me on all the streaming platforms and all that stuff.
Hell yeah, man. Well, it's an honor to have you. And we'll catch you all in the front row. Thank you so much, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.